saw that woman just staring out into nothing, and I thought maybe there was something bigger going on here. Both of these people were acting very suspicious and just looking at or for something that wasn't there, that I didn't see. Maybe that's not because it wasn't there, but because it was otherworldly. As you may already know, I made a video before about how this is year A for me, which could stand for a lot of different things, but one of the things it could stand for is aliens. So what if my prediction is right? This is the year of aliens, and they have started to come to us. Maybe they're not showing themselves in vast numbers to, you know, lots of people all at once, but maybe they're just kind of easing in, and they're presenting themselves to certain people who might have a certain gift or ability or naivete, perhaps. Maybe these people I've been seeing looking for at nothing are actually the first people to have contact with these creatures. Maybe the very presence of these aliens here on Earth is causing all kinds of electrical interference that would somehow get in the way of my processing thoughts and feelings correctly, and maybe that's what I've been feeling the past few weeks.
Users of Twitter will often put their information online with their tweets. My Twitter feed is at Pacific Pelican, all one word, and a lot of people will just communicate on Twitter, post thoughts and photos, and then, you know, move on. But if they ever want to go and look for their archives, people are often surprised that the archives aren't very easily available. They are archived privately by companies and apparently by the Library of Congress, although they apparently don't seem to want to share openly. So there doesn't seem to be much of a public record of public tweets. Well, people use certain tools to archive their tweets, and I know that that is what the ThinkUp project with Gina Trapani and others was doing at one point. I'm not sure what they're really doing now. I think they're one of those things that went from being a nonprofit to a company, so things evolve in the tech space very quickly, obviously. But then there's also tools like IFTTT, and you know they're known as if this then that. The company, you know, they're at ifttt.com that you can use to connect different accounts. So previously, you could use something called a Twitter trigger to fire an event. So if you wrote a new tweet, you could have it archived in your Evernote. You just have to go to IFTTT on the website and log into both Twitter and Evernote. And then IFTTT would use the APIs of those two services, and they would connect your information so you could archive it. You could also use a Twitter trigger to create a new WordPress blog post or something like that. And so people could use that to archive their data. Now, Twitter very famously has been changing its API lately. Now, Twitter has changed their API to the extent that IFTTT doesn't seem to be able to use the API the way that they could before, and they're no longer using Twitter triggers. So it looks like people can still use IFTTT to have triggers from other services post to Twitter. It's still possible to use the API that way more easily. But if for services that want to take information out of Twitter, this is getting more and more difficult. This makes me wonder if the tool that I use, which is a fork of Alex King's Twitter Tools WordPress plugin, that's on GitHub, the version I use, because it's a fork that actually allows retweets to be posted as well. And I don't know if because of the display rules and other things, I'm starting to wonder if the way that I archive my tweets at djmcloud.danieljmckeown.com/updates even complies with the Twitter API rules. And if you want to check the show notes and see links to some of this stuff, you can go over to djmcloud.com for the show notes for podcast number 48. I've said goodbye to Instagram. I have used Instagram under the same username I use for Twitter, at Pacific Pelican, and I have a handful of photos I put up there, and I liked using it for a while, but really what I would mainly do is use it to share to Twitter and occasionally Facebook. And, you know, I've decided that I can use the built-in Twitter photo sharing and other tools, and that can be just fine in terms of photo sharing. And in terms of Instagram, it's being bought by Facebook, and there's a certain kind of a way that the site has kind of become kind of like old news, I guess, pretty quickly. And it's not like any kind of real big problem with it. And I actually do lurk still on Instagram and look at people's photos. But I guess it seems like that I followed a handful of different photographers out there, and it seems like the kind of energy that was there a year ago around new and interesting photos being put on Instagram, I have to think that some of these people are posting other places and doing other stuff a little more. And we just have to find new services or new ways to find the photography that's cool and on the edge, because there's still good stuff on Instagram, but it's a lot more predictable. It's a lot more in patterns. People and what they're doing, social occasions, cool stuff. But the kind of photos where people would be using DSLRs and then filtering them themselves and then syncing them to their iPhone and posting them, I just don't see that as much, at least in the, small sample of Instagram users that I follow. But I do still, like I said, lurk occasionally, and I have it set up on IFTTT, so if I like something on Instagram, it also creates a tweet, so then, it links to that person's, Instagram. So, hopefully, if people see good, photography on my feed it by other, users on Instagram, then people that are still active on Instagram can follow them, because, it's a cool enough place to lurk at. I've noticed this article about rent-to-own computer firms. Now, I want to say I think you're best off buying a computer. The rental places have spyware in them. I mean, that's not surprising, right? I mean, you're probably better off using a Linux-based system or a Mac OS X system compared to Windows in terms of spyware, but also you're probably better off owning your computer. I think there's an important clip from Dennis Kucinich coming up. He's talking about the corporate interests in the country. He's on his way out from the House. Somebody that really spoke what he thought about issues and the state Republican Party in Ohio colluded, I think, with some Democrats, maybe Marcy Kaptur.
For 1 minute, thank you. In 1992, the Food and Drug Administration decided that genetically modified organisms were the functional equivalent of conventional foods. They arrived at this decision without testing GMOs for allergenicity, toxicity, antibiotic resistance, and functional characteristics. As a result, hundreds of millions of acres of GMO crops were planted in America without the knowledge or consent of the American people. No safety testing, no long-term health studies. The FDA has received over a million comments from citizens demanding labeling of GMOs. 90% of Americans agree. So why no labeling? I'll give you one reason. The influence and the corruption of the political process by Monsanto.
Well, last episode, episode number 47, I mentioned some Google Reader clients, and I've tried another one since then that I like. I mentioned for Android, there's the First Party, which is basically just the Google made Google Reader app, and it's fine. It's just a very simple interface to the to Google Reader, and there's more out there, and I'm planning to probably try at least one or two others. But I have found for a few dollars, there's Reader HD, the Android Google Reader client that offers you a nice basic interface, but a little more detail. It seems a little more ready for the Android interface instead of more of just seeming like a web view, like the Google Reader client. So this gives you a two-column view. I think it's basically smartphone friendly. I'm using it on a Samsung it's GTP3113 tablet, which is a 7-inch Android tablet, and it's good for that. It gives you two columns. It kind of works better if you use it in landscape, you know, wide view, which lets you scroll up and down on the different categories that you have, or labels, or whatever they're called by Google, and then you can view all items, and then while you're looking at it, it goes to a two column where the right column shifts to the left, and then there's a content column on the right. From there, you can go to your web browser, there's some other options. And, you know, so I recommend trying that out as a Google Reader client. A lot of podcasters use some of the key products in the category, which I'm referring to Liberated Syndication, or Libsyn. They're a podcast hosting provider, which I don't personally use, but I know they're very popular and well-regarded by a lot of people. They had someone that works for them named Rob Walch gave an interview that I listened to in this podcast called The Podcaster Studio, and I think if you want to see, if you want to hear about how, you know, some of the mechanics of podcasting, getting the podcast on a feed on iTunes, different stuff to use, they have a pretty extensive discussion about it. Well, and there's another issue, and you can find a link to that in the show notes. Thepodcasterstudio.com is where that article is. And there's another thing going on. And there's a link to this article in the show notes about FeedBurner and how FeedBurner is actually now under question as to whether it's going to last. Now, a lot of podcasters out there rely on FeedBurner to distribute their RSS feed, and that allows podcatchers and other types of clients to know that there are new podcasts. And for a lot of people, that's a good percentage of their listeners. That is how some people listen to the DJM Cloud podcast, for example. And the Podcasters Roundtable number 4, what's going on with FeedBurner? You can find a link to that in the show notes. And they're not too concerned that FeedBurner is going away, but they do have some discussion about alternatives and whether they're using FeedBurner for new projects, which the answer to in some cases is no. So, you know, you people can look at that. Now, I've used this feature called My Brand on my podcast. So, for example, this podcast, it's I've always used a feeds.pacificpelican.us, or, you know, maybe it's feeds2.pacificpelican.us. Anyway, it's one of my own subdomains, and it actually is the URL that people subscribe to. So I can move away from FeedBurner whenever I want and just send a redirect to a new feed that I want to use, or put the new feed just up at that URL. But a lot of people have been giving away their feeds.feedburner.com or some other type, you know, of URL like that to their subscribers. So if they want to get away from FeedBurner, they may not be able to take all their subscribers with them very easily. So that is a real issue. And I think FeedBurner is going to be around, but a lot of people might move away from it.
On Sunday at Liberal Democrat Conference, and as is often the case with these things, it's a bit like being in a bad Radiohead song. Smell of bad food, no natural light, mobiles chirping. Part of me is starting to feel sorry I even came. Although, as we know, maybe these people have got a lot more to feel sorry for. I'm sorry we didn't win the election. I'm sorry we couldn't deliver. It's very frustrating.
I think there are some things that the party as a whole might need to apologise for when we come out of coalition government.
Such as?
NHS reform. I apologise. My
responsibility. The Pirate Bay founder, Gottfried Svartholm, one of the founders, is still been locked up without charges in Sweden. He was extradited from another country, I think Thailand, recently, and I think that he's still locked up and hasn't been able to communicate, apparently, according to this article that you could find at Torrent Freak. Evernote has a Moleskine. They've partnered to have a special notebook that allows scanning supposedly more easily. So for the purposes of digitizing with a smartphone camera, say, the contents of the Moleskine into Evernote. So it actually seems like more of a reasonable partnership and less of just a novelty than at first glance. You've been listening to the DJMCloud.com podcast with me, Dan McKeown. This is episode number 48, recorded on September 30th, 2012. And check the show notes, DJMCloud.com or PacificPelican.us.